Come Easy Go podcast, celebrating West Virginia people, places, and the culture of Southern Appalachia. Here's your host, Wayne Bennett.
Welcome to the Wayne Bennett podcast. This is episode number 44, and I'd like to give a shout out to Jim Kirby up in Fairmont. He's grew up with me. He's played a little baseball together, and he was checking us out this past weekend. We give a shout out to Jim. And today, got a buddy stopped by, and he's going to talk to us a little bit. Gary Falbert, welcome, Gary.
Hey, Wayne, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And Gary is the sports editor at the Beckley Register here. And how long you been there?
I've been there this August. Actually, make 25 years. Started there just as a part time employee, and just kind of worked my way up. Some things worked out where I was able to get a full-time position, and I've been there ever since.
Now, you came from Montgomery, didn't you?
I sure did, yeah. I came from Fayette County, born and bred. I actually started writing at the Montgomery Herald when I was in high school. I was 14 years old. Covered a couple of local high schools and West Virginia Tech when they were in Montgomery, obviously. Did that for a while. Got out of it for a couple of years while I was in college, and then got out of college, needed a job. I had some contacts at the Beckley newspaper, and got in. You know, definitely it wasn't my plan at that time to still be here 25 years later, but that's what God does. He puts you where He wants you.
When you went to college, what did you study in college?
I actually got a degree in history and government. Didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do right out of high school, but I knew that I really enjoyed history and, being around the history professors and just enjoying learning that. I really had designs on being a history professor in college. That's what I wanted to do. But life takes in different directions.
Well, now when you were growing up in Montgomery, tell us a little bit about your early. You said you worked when you was 14 years old.
I did, yeah.
Doing sports?
Sports. I didn't do anything news wise or anything like that. It was just strictly mostly game coverage. And Montgomery Herald was a weekly newspaper, so basically I pick out a game each week to cover, and then kind of round up the rest of the action. Unfolded as the week went on. I was growing up in Montgomery. I was just a normal kid, just went out and played with my friends. I was one of those weird kids. I actually enjoyed going to school and being around my friends and everything, yeah.
Did you play any sports in school?
I actually played tennis. Not a lot of people know that. Most people who know me as a big baseball fan and now a wrestling fan. I actually played tennis in high school, and wasn't great, but I was first seed on my team my senior year, and just had a good time doing that.
Now, was this Valley High School?
Valley High School, yes. And
when did Montgomery and when did they make Valley High School?
Valley, I believe, I want to say 1980 was the first year. 80, 81, I believe, was the first year of Valley High School. Yeah.
Now, I know the coach, football coach, Benny Hopkins, mm-hmm. down there for a long time.
And, yes.
Then when they consolidated with Oak Hill, some of those kids went to Oak Hill, and I think a few of them went down the river, didn't they, to Riverside?
Some went to Riverside, and then some, as you said, Oak Hill, and there were some, I think, even went to Midland Trail. So, yeah, they really spread out there. There's some definitely strange, Fayette County at one time has 7 high schools, now down to 3.
Yeah. I know back in the old days, I mean, there was a high school almost on every block.
Yeah, it seemed like it. Yes.
And that's a huge county. I mean, from Metter Bridge over down to Valley. I mean, that's a whole, almost a whole different culture.
Right.
And you mentioned professional wrestling. How did you get involved? How did you get interested in that?
I'll tell you what, the first memory I have of professional wrestling, we were just sitting at home one day. I was 7 years old, and flipping through channels. We didn't have remote control back then, so mom was up there to turn channels, and all of a sudden, boom, there's TBS. We had never gotten TBS before, and all of a sudden it was there, and professional wrestling was on. And my mom, of all people, would start telling me stories about the old Saturday Night Wrestling on WOAY, and I was hooked. So from that point, and I don't watch it as much as I used to, but I still try to keep up with it like as much as I can. But so much of my childhood, a lot of my memories were around professional wrestling.
Well, my youngest son, he's 41 years old, and he's really into it. He still watches it and follows it. And when he was younger, we didn't discourage it at all. And he would tape everything he could tape and watch it over and over and over again. Yeah. But then I started coming home, and he would be dressed in a suit with a tennis racket and a Jim Cornette. And he did that. We took pictures of him. We bought him wrestlers and rings and let him. Then as he got older, become a pretty expert on it. And I actually had some of adults was calling and talking wrestling to him, and he could answer most of the questions. And when he got married, he had this one wrestling doll that he wrestled around with all the time. We didn't know whether he was going to take that with him or not. But he did, and I guess it worked out. But my experience, my mother used to watch Saturday night wrestling, and it'd make her so nervous, but she'd watch it every Saturday. And of course, if the antenna was working exactly right on the TV, every once in a while we would get wrestling on Channel 8 in Madison Square Garden.
There you go.
And you had Bobo Brazil and Bruno Sammartino and those guys.
Yes.
And we didn't always get that. Sometimes the antenna wasn't working right, but we always got Channel 4. And it was big time. I mean, it made Shirley Love put him in a political office.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yes,
but I'll tell you have you ever been to some of the live matches?
I have. I've been to WCW Monday Nitro had a couple of shows, and I think it had three, maybe four shows in Charleston. I went to probably three of those. That was my claim to fame. My friends, the first one they had, my brother and a friend of ours were on TV pretty much the whole night because we were on the camera. We were on the side directly across from the main TV camera. So we were on there the entire time. I actually found a video of one of the matches on YouTube last year and showed my son. I said, "Hey, look, see who that guy is?" He said, "Hey, that's you." I've been to some of those. WCW actually had a pay-per-view in Charleston back in 99, went to that. And WWF, which is WWE now, they had their Monday Night Raw was in Huntington. One of the first couple years I was in out here at Beckley Newspapers. So I went to that. So yeah, I've been a few of them. We had a good time with my friends, and yeah, it's a good time.
When I was working at the Y, they had a show over here, and it would have had to have been around 1980, maybe 79 or 80, and that was before Ric Flair was really huge.
Right.
But they stayed at the Ramada Inn, and they called ahead of time, and they said there was one to come and work out at the Y before the show that night.
Yeah.
And I said, come on down, and we really didn't know who they were, and it was Arn Anderson, Ric Flair, the Iron Sheik, and Precious Paul Ellery.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they came down and rode in Ric Flair's Lincoln Continental. They parked in front of the Y. And when he came in, he had a Rolex watch. And he said, "Well, I can't leave this in the locker." And so we had to put it in the safe.
Yeah.
And they went down in the bottom weight room where the free weights were. And I went in and watched them. And Arn Anderson was kind of the head guy, and he put them through a workout.
Right.
I mean, they went through a tremendous workout.
Yeah.
And then they came out and tried to play a little basketball. That was a comical. And before it was all over with, though, Paul and Iron Sheik, they ended up in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And they put in a pretty good day, and then they had to wrestle. They were probably enemies that night.
Right,
but they worked out. But but nice guys. I mean, they really were. Every one of them was. And then I saw Ric Flair at a few of the middle school, junior high wrestling matches, and somebody said his son wrestled for Barbersville.
I've never heard that. I'm saying no, but I've never heard that.
But it was somebody that he knew because he came and I saw him at actually two of them, And then I saw him one time at the Greenbrier when they had one of the golf tournaments. Right. And he was up there just hanging around. But
Everything I've heard about Ric Flair, he was seemed to be a pretty good guy.
I think that's my son's favorite wrestler. I always kind of like Dusty Rhodes. I like to hear him talk.
Right.
You know, but one other experience I had with there was used to be on Channel 4, there was Gene and Jan Madrid.
Right. Yes.
And the Yahoo McDaniel and some of those guys. But I worked for Coca-Cola, and the head man, Mr. Hedrick, the boss, one day, Jan Madrid had a place in Fayetteville called Jan's Pizza Palace, okay. And it was down below the high school.
Yeah.
And at that time, they would let, during lunch periods, they let the high school kids go down there and buy pizza. And he had a pretty good business, actually, and he was still wrestling. And but anyway, the boss called me in and said, I'm going to send you tomorrow, and I want you to pick up this big pop cooler that we sold Jan Madrid. He's not paying for it, and we want to get it back. We're going to repossess it.
Yeah.
And he said, if you have any trouble, just come on back. But he said, I think you can handle that. Well, man, I stayed up about half the night, I think, you know, worried about going and repossessing this cooler. And so the next day, the guy I was supposed to take with me, I said, well, before we left, though, Mr. Hedrick, the owner, boss, he came out and he said, I think they're going to shut him down. The police are over there.
Wow.
And so I was tickled to death to hear that. But when we got there, he actually was there, and he was real nice about it. He actually helped us get the cooler on the truck and load up everything. But I think he had a real good business. He just wasn't paying his bills. But he was enjoyable, but he was supposed to be the heel, I guess.
Yes,
but,
right. Yeah.
I'd heard a story. I don't know whether you heard it or not, but and I think it was Doug Epling.
Okay.
I may be wrong about this, but Doug Epling was the West Virginia Boxing Commission. It started out, he was a commissioner, and it started out like in 1930s before he was there, but then it became the Athletic Commission.
Yes.
And somewhere along the line, they were requiring these wrestling events they were going to start requiring these wrestling events to pay fees and those kind of things to the Athletic Commission. And they actually stopped a wrestling program in Bluefield and arrested some of the wrestlers, local guys, and the promoter that was putting it on. And I know that that happened for a fact. Now, I'm not sure that Doug Epling was involved.
Right.
Forgive me, Doug, if you... But the courts finally threw it out because they said it was not an athletic event. It was considered entertainment, you know, since it was scripted. So it.
Yeah.
But if you ever see Doug, ask him about
that.
I'll
have to ask him about that.
He'll probably be calling me. Anyway.
Yeah.
But
you mentioned Jimmy Cornette. He and Bobby Heenan were two of my favorites of all time. Just the things they did on the mic were just just incredible. Yeah, and I love I grew up, I was a little bit of a Hulkamaniac when I was little, but then I got over the good guy stage and, started following more of the heels and the Four Horsemen and everything. But my favorite wrestler of all time was Sting back in 1997. We was the Crow Sting fighting the New World Order. That him against New World Order was the greatest wrestling storyline, in my opinion. Just every week, you were tuned in watching to see what happened next, and it was just
well, you gotta appreciate the athleticism in those guys. I mean, it's unbelievable some of the things they do now. And I don't know, the movie that came out a few years ago with Mickey Spade.
It's called The Wrestler.
And I mean the injuries and the things that he went through, and and the way, of course, this was kind of a small time, and those guys, especially the smaller guys, they probably don't have any kind of insurance or anything like that.
You know,
the big guys make a little bit more money and do well, but it's It's popular. It's big. What about baseball? How'd you get hooked up on the baseball?
The fun thing about baseball is, I didn't really come from a family who really, I didn't have a lot of sports fans in my family. And my friends at school, most of my friends, they were athletes, even at a young age, playing a little league and things like that. And, when the conversation would turn to something, athletic, I wasn't really included. And, of course, I didn't like that. So I just happened to, again, TBS caught some Braves games. And it just seemed like every time I turned on TV, it was a Braves game on. And so I just kept watching and really just kind of taught myself the game, listening to the announcers, Skip Carey, Pete Van Wieren, Ernie Johnson, those three. I just kind of taught myself a game from listening to what they were saying, and I was hooked ever since. Baseball is just kind of baseball to me is a special sport. Everybody has reasons for love of the sports they love, but there's just so much nostalgia to baseball that to me you don't get in other sports, and I've been hooked on it since I was. I think I was 8 years old.
Do you get to see any professional games?
I haven't been to a Major League Baseball game since '96. It's been a long time. I went to Atlanta with a friend of mine, and I'm a Braves fan. We went and watched them play the Cardinals in two games, and haven't been ever since. Life kind of takes over, and still have my wife and kids. They're not into sports too much. So don't really get out. But, I have around here, obviously I've seen the West Virginia Miners, both as a writer and just someone enjoying the games. I went to see the Princeton Whistle Pigs this summer. I enjoyed that. Yeah, so try to get out as much as I can just to watch. Yeah.
Yeah, most people don't connect me with baseball, but baseball is one of my favorite sports, too. I've followed it. The first team I ever followed was Cincinnati Reds,
right.
Of course, like most people. Back in the old days, it's the only team you could get on the radio, and I would go to sleep at night listening to Joe Nuxall and some of those guys, and Marty Brenninger, or whatever his name is. I followed the Washington Senators,
right.
Because the first time I went on a Little League excursion, we went to the Washington and watched them play, and that's the first game I ever saw. I was 11 years old, and then I had a brother that moved up there around the Washington area, and so when I go visit him, we go watch the Senators play. Mm-hmm. And of course they quit having a team. Then the Cincinnati Reds, I kind of got a little angry with Marge Schott when she ran the team, and I quit
sure
watching
a lot of
them. And so I started following Baltimore Orioles, and I actually went to Baltimore a couple of times, and I like Cal Ripken Jr. I did like the Braves.
Yeah.
Even when they started coming on TV all the time, I liked them, but I wasn't a huge fan. But they played every game. I mean, the day, night,
yes.
Whatever. It was
yeah.
on TV, and
yeah.
I think a lot of people got connected with it. But
yeah.
But I liked them even back when, Warren Spahn and Lou Burdett and Eddie Matthews and Hank Aaron and all those guys,
right.
When they played in Milwaukee, I enjoyed watching them play. And, of course, you guys got something to celebrate this year.
Yeah. It was. I thought it was interesting. You said today is episode 44. Hank Aaron wore number 44. He passed away this year, and a lot of people made a big deal about it. The Braves won 44 games in the first half of this season, then 44 in the second half.
Wow.
I think they scored 44 runs in a postseason, something like that. So 44 is a big number, but it was a lot of fun watching them win the World Series, the first one since '95. When I was a college student back then, and I think I watched maybe the last four innings of that game when they clinched it back in 95. And, of course, I had to work this year when they won it, but I was able to catch the bottom of the ninth inning, which is really all that mattered. So I got to watch the celebration.
Well, I started following the Nationals when they were created. And, of course, Frank yeah. Robinson was the first coach, and he was an old Cincinnati and a Baltimore
yes.
boy. And so when they got in the World Series a couple of years ago – I called my son, who lives around Washington. I said, we've got to go to the World Series. We got to go to the World Series.
Yeah.
Well, by the time they give everybody all the season ticket holders and all the special, the only things we could get was standing room only, and it was $800 a ticket.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't think we'll, I'm not going to pay $800 to stand.
Not to stand up. No, you can stand in your own living room for free.
So we didn't make it, but they won, and I did get to see them. We were in Florida visiting my sister the next spring, and their first spring training game was against Houston, who they'd played against in the World Series. And so we went to that, and it was funny. There was almost 10,000 people at that game.
Right.
And Washington won, Strasburg pitched, but as soon as that game was over, Major League Baseball discontinued because of the pandemic.
I was wondering about that, yeah.
And we were lucky. I mean, we were in Florida when the pandemic was halting everything, but we were lucky to see that one. But
I would love to go to a spring training game sometime, you know, just to experience
We're planning on going this February, and hopefully we can go, but and we're going to try to see the Mets and Marlins, St. Louis, and the Nationals, if we can make it. But we're not, you know, you don't know for sure. Depends on what this variant does. But now, who was the sports editor when you started working at Beckley Newspaper?
Dave Morrison was, and he actually helped me get my first job in the Montgomery Herald. And we knew each other through then. And he was there. He was there until 2012, and then he went up to Martinsburg, worked at Wheeling for a while. Now he's back down here, and he's actually helped me out now. He's freelancing for me and doing a great job, as everybody knew he would. He's he's one of the best out there.
Yeah, he's everywhere, and I saw him over at one of the Woodrow Wilson football practices, and it was one of the hottest days of the year, and he was sitting in a chair. And that's how this past weekend I gave a squeeze of the water bottle to his wife, Angie.
I noticed that, yes.
Because I talked to him a little bit, and I told him, you know, he was always good to me and everything, and I thanked him, and he said, well, you need to give us a squeeze of water bottle sometime. I said, we'll do that. But, Dave is an excellent writer. And he was an athlete at Valley.
He was, yeah. He played basketball, football, and baseball, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, when did he graduate?
I think he graduated. He was one of the first of the Valley, one of the first Valley graduates. I don't know if he graduated the first year. I don't want to say what year it was, but it was in early 80s. Yeah.
Now, what do you think about in the sports world now? I mean, we're going to this younger generation is not a hard copy type. They're not interested as much in paper. I like to have a paper. When I'm reading a book, I like to turn pages, but the younger generation is not. Where do you think how are we going to end up here?
I don't know. I mean, obviously we're in a different time, like you said. People just aren't, like my son told me, cell phones is just the way of life for them, and things like that. That's what they're born in, just like we were born into, rotary telephones and TVs with no remote control. It's just part of what they know. Obviously the newspaper business has changed a lot, and it's been some, a little bit of struggle. But we're still there, and there's no plans to go anywhere. We're still, we're not planning on becoming obsolete or anything like that. We're still plugging along, going as hard as we can.
There's a lot of good things and bad things about technology.
Right.
I mean, I thought when ESPN came along, I thought that was one of the best things that ever happened. But then the way teams juggle their schedules and the way things, ESPN tells them when they're going to play.
Right.
And this, I'm not so sure that that's the best, but it seems like money is that one thing that pushes everybody.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
I don't know how it's going to end up. I know around here locally, you've got Video Productions. It's doing a lot of basketball and football. And you know, I kind of thank God, you know, I get to, and they do a good job. I mean, the ones I've watched, I don't have to get out of the house. And really, most of their stuff, you don't have to pay for, you know. And they do it by selling ads, but it's kind of leery where we might be in a few years. But like you say, kids don't. I'm not sure they don't even have books hardly anymore at school.
It's they rarely, you know, you're right. They're usually using their iPads or even Chromebooks now. You know for their assignments. And they do have books. I know my son carries them home every single day. You should see his backpack. You know, it's a wonder he doesn't have a bad back by now. Yeah, because it carries everything in there. But yeah, definitely a different age. Like you said, technology is, you know, it's good when it works, but if it goes down, you know, we're so dependent on it now that, you know, when it goes down, it prevents problems. You know, even, you know the way we produce the newspaper, you know, if we lose our internet, you know, world hurt. So, you know, it's just a different day and age, but, you know, the key is you just have to adapt to it. And I know even my story, you know, stories that I write or that somebody else writes for me, they go in the paper, but I make sure to get them posted on our website and social media and everything. So, yeah.
Tell us about your family. You mentioned your son. You've got two sons, don't you?
I have two sons and I have a daughter who's 20 years old. She goes to Marshall. She's a junior there. She just went back to Marshall yesterday. She was home for Thanksgiving.
What's she studying?
Psychology. She's going to get a bachelor in psychology and then go on from there. I think she wants to eventually be in the school systems, helping you know guidance, counseling, and things like that. My oldest son, he just turned 17. He's a junior at Woodrow, and my youngest son, Patrick, is 11. He's a fifth grade at Crescent, and people may know him. He's on the John Howerton Honda commercials.
Oh, is that your
That's
son?
That's my son, yes.
Oh,
yes,
man.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, he's got a future.
He's got something in that field, I really think. Because not necessarily acting, but he can just tell you all kinds of facts about different actors. I mean, you know, people you wouldn't think an 11-year-old kid these days would know. He knows, you know, what they did, what their background is, and everything like that. So he's definitely interested in things
he
like that.
He does a great job.
Thank you.
I didn't know that was your son.
Yeah,
he's having
a blast, man. It was funny. It happened by accident. But we were looking to get a new car, and not on that particular day. I wasn't even with them when it happened, but my wife was kind of shopping around. She had him with her, and they were at Howerton Honda and just looking. And Patrick, if you don't know him, he can talk to anybody. He just talks to anybody. Personable kid. He asked the salesman, "Are you John Howerton?" And he said, "No, but John's here. You want to talk to him?" And he said, "Yeah." And so he met John Howerton and told him, "Hey, I want to be at your next commercial." And that evening, my wife is, she's friends with the lady who's the ad director at WOAY. She texted my wife and said, "Hey, Patrick's going to be on this commercial," and just took off from there.
Wow.
So,
that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does your wife work, or does she stay home?
She works from home right now. She works for UMWA Health and Retirement Funds, which basically she answers you know questions people have about the insurance and things of that nature. Yeah.
Now, you've been around the sports for who's the best high school athlete you've seen live?
I'd have to say Randy Moss right off the top. It was when I was at Montgomery Herald. I got to see him play at DuPont High School, and he was just, you just knew about watching him. You know, he wasn't like anybody else that you were watching. So definitely he was the best by far. But see some great ones. I mean, Seth McClung pitched for Greenbrier East. I liked watching him pitch. I remember him hitting a home run at Woodrow out to center field, and I don't think anybody ever saw the ball come down.
Wow.
Yeah, it was at Woodrow baseball. The whatever that building is out behind there, it may have reached that building. Yes, it was, so that's one of the legends.
Randy Moss has been top of my list too, and I got to see him play 4 football games,
right.
And I was scouting for Woodrow 2 years, and I would. When Woodrow was playing on Friday, I would go scout DuPont and South Charleston, and that's when South Charleston had, I think they had Coach Casto. They had some good teams,
right.
And I mean, you talking about, I watched them play 3 times, and I think South Charleston won 2 out of the 3 the years that I watched them. But Randy Moss, he kicked off, he received kicks, he punted, he cut passes, he threw passes, he ran, he did everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was unbelievable. And then I watched him play against Woodrow one year and play a little bit of basketball. I never saw Kurt Warner.
Right.
I met him a couple of times, but I never actually saw him play in high school. I watched him on TV a little bit, but those guys were something else, and both of them are doing well.
Yeah. And of course, there was no Adams. Yeah.
You kind of got about the wrestling. Did you volunteer to cover wrestling, or did you get thrown into it?
I did not. Yeah, full disclosure, I was not happy about that when I got that assignment. It was just I've never been exposed to wrestling at all. I think you wrote about Mike Morrison in one of your columns.
Yeah.
He actually came to middle school when I was in 6th grade and tried to introduce our gym class to wrestling. I didn't necessarily. I never got into a match because I was so small that he was afraid to put me against anybody else. But that was the only exposure I had to it. And so when I don't know if you remember Anthony Hanshew, who covered wrestling for us.
Yeah.
He left. He took on a job at Clarksburg up in the north, and Dave Swartz at the time had me take over wrestling, and I wasn't happy about it. I just didn't know anything about it. Slowly I evolved, and I really started to enjoy it. Got to the point where I was really getting into it, and then Randall Jett came and worked for us, and I kind of handed it off to him for a while until he left, and then I took it back over again, and I really, really just fell in love with it, and just the main story from my perspective is, like I said, I do enjoy. I've always, I eventually did start enjoying actually covering it, watching the matches, just appreciate what the guys do, because I know how hard they work and the camaraderie they have, with other, wrestlers from other teams. I mean, obviously they want to win, but I mean, just the camaraderie to me just stood out above all of the sports. That's what one of the things I loved about it. But from my perspective, January 2015, I gave my life to Jesus, and it was right in the middle of wrestling season. And that's just the biggest moment in my life is when it happened. And so when we're in the middle of wrestling season, that's when I feel closer to God than I do any other time of the year. And so it's just always a very special time for me. Especially this week, we're going to start, with the Raider Rumble coming up on Friday. And it's just always a very, very special time for me. Yeah.
That's great. And, it's evolved a lot, from the times when I first got involved with it. And I mean, I never had seen a wrestling match till I went out for wrestling in high school, and they didn't have youth or junior high or anything like that at the time. But it has evolved, and this area has been very competitive, and I think it's going to be more competitive coming up. There's a few of those schools that are shaping up now, and I love to see some of the guys that I coached or see some of the guys that I saw come up through the ranks, and then they're giving back. That really kind of warms your heart.
But, yeah, it does.
Well, Gary, I hate to cut us off, but man,
this has been fun.
Time just flies.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it at all. It feels like I just got here.
You're going to have to come back and bring your son. We'd love to talk.
We will be able to get a word in edgewise.
We'll have to send him out after a couple of minutes. But I do appreciate you coming by.
No, I appreciate you asking.
Looking forward to you've been good to me, and I never will forget that.
Oh, no, you You're the dean, as far as I'm concerned, wrestling sports writers in Beckley. And I appreciate everything you've done for us. And yeah, I've learned from you, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And anybody else out there, if you'd like to come on the show, we'd love to have you. You can contact me by email, awbennett50@gmail.com, or you can check us out on Facebook, and we'll get you on here. And everybody's got a story, and remember, if you ain't dead yet, you ain't done yet. And God bless you. Son of